biggest parks like Denali and Glacier Bay have continuing issues that, that get the attention of folks back in Washington. But not to forget that Klondike is Alaska's most visited park.
Meeting the new boss at Skagway's Klondike Gold Rush National Historical Park. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. That story and more up next. U.S. Senator Lisa Murkowski reintroduced her Sea Alaska land selection bill Tuesday. The measure cuts two controversial timber areas that were in the previous legislation. It increases stream buffers to protect fish habitat during logging, and it removes one economic development or futures site and puts limits on another. Spokesman Robert Dillon says the measure answers concerns expressed by many Southeast residents.
Obviously, not every objection is going to be, you know, solvable, but where possible, I think that staff made a very strong effort under Senator Murkowski's direction to resolve a lot of the conflicts.
U.S. Senator Mark Begich is co-sponsoring the bill. U.S. Congressman Don Young's spokeswoman says his version is also about to be reintroduced. Young said in a recent visit to Haines that he's not going to include Murkowski's changes in his version of the bill.
And we're going to move the bill. And this is my fight with it. You don't start here. This is my bill. This is Lisa Murkowski's bill. And I don't have any argument with Lisa. But they've already negotiated. They'd be in SEAC to here. Now they want me to negotiate from here to here. I'm starting here. I'll pass my bill. They can pass their bill. Then we may meet here.
Murkowski's measure allows the Regional Native Corporation to select about 86,000 acres of Tongass National Forest land. Sea Alaska could already claim acreage inside boundaries set by the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act. This legislation authorizes selections elsewhere in Southeast. The bill includes about 79,000 acres of timberlands on Prince of Wales and nearby islands. But it drops land on western Tuxican Island to protect fish habitat, and it removes an area near Halibut Harbor on the west side of Kosciuszko Island to protect anchorages. Dillon says the bill requires a 100-foot buffer for salmon streams, lakes, and estuaries.
It was added at the recommendation of a fisherman and environmental activist. The idea was to protect the fish in the creeks from soil erosion and higher water temperatures caused by a loss of shade trees on creek banks.
Federal law governing national forest logging requires similar buffers. State law regulating private property logging, such as Sea Alaska's operations, calls for a smaller buffer. The larger buffer would be in place for 5 years. Dillon says activists could use that time to try to change state law. Murkowski's bill includes about 4,000 acres for future sites to be used for energy, tourism, and other development. It removes the Dog Cove site near Ketchikan and delays development of the Pegmatite Mountain geothermal site near Tenneke. The measure also allows Sea Alaska to select up to 3,600 acres of sacred, cultural, and historic sites. It drops a list of specific locations included in earlier versions of the bill. Skagway Assembly continues discussion on a proposed noise ordinance in its regular assembly meeting on Thursday night. The rule would clarify borough code to offer a list of unlawful loud sounds, including chronic animal noises and abnormally loud mechanical equipment, loudspeakers, radio, TV, phonographs, explosives, firearms, work or motor vehicle noise. The proposed allowable sound level in decibels is lowest during the night in a residential area and is equivalent to conversational speech. The highest allowance is 80 decibels in industrial areas and commercial areas during the daytime and is equal to an airplane at 1 mile or a vacuum cleaner. The Borough Assembly also continues discussion on appropriate penalties to pair with the ordinance. The second reading of that ordinance is at the Assembly's regular meeting taking place the evening of Thursday, April 7th. The Assembly will also review the FY12 Skagway School District budget proposal, which comes after the Borough and School Board's joint meeting late last month. The district's requesting a total of just over $1.7 million for the operating fund and programs that fall outside of that fund, such as extracurricular activities and vocational education. The Assembly meets at 7 p.m. in Assembly Chambers in City Hall on Thursday. National Historical Park in Skagway has a new boss. Mike Trinnell is joining the park staff of up to around 80 in mid-March, a move that brings him back to Alaska after several years working for the state's national parks in the nation's capital.
So I've been at several different parks, and so coming to Klondike will be my seventh park, counting the ones where I've been in for even just a short time.
Trinnell is currently serving as acting superintendent at Cape Lookout National Seashore on the southern side of the Outer Banks,
which is 56 miles of barrier islands off the coast of North Carolina.
But for years before that, he was special assistant to the Alaska Regional Director in Washington, D.C., for Sue Massica, who oversees all of the state's national parks, from Wrangell-St. Elias to Gates of the Arctic.
So in Washington, D.C., I've been working a lot with our congressional delegation and Department of Interior and various people, you know, Directorate of the National Park Service, on Alaska issues.
And before that were the years that made Alaska the place he still calls home, even while he lived in D.C. His career started in three different parks in the lower 48, in Georgia, Mississippi, and Utah, but that work eventually led him to Denali National Park, where he stayed until early 2008 when he made the move to D.C. It was there that he began working on Klondike issues, like planning for the future of Dyea and helping with large collection donations.
I worked on major issues for all of the parks in Alaska, and as you can imagine, some of the biggest parks like Denali and Glacier Bay have continuing issues that get the attention of folks back in Washington. But not to forget that Klondike is Alaska's most visited park, and the really, you know, working on some of the issues like how do we work with the cruise ship industry on educational programs and, you know, the things that we do in partnership where we have common goals. And that really started in planning in Denali because, you know, as we know, Denali is a major destination for the cruise ship passengers once they get up and start going through the interior of Alaska.
In Denali, he worked as an environmental specialist, but much of the work he left behind was in planning for the future use of the park. He worked on development concept plans that mapped out facility improvements at the visitor center and entrance, and spent his time there helping form the park's backcountry management plan.
That took about 6 years because it had some pretty major controversial issues in it, such as snow machining and mountain use, you know, how many climbers on Mount McKinley, things like that, aircraft landings and the future of that type of visitor use. And that was certainly a major project for Denali as far as the future of visitor use and resource protection and, you know, all of the 6 million acres of Denali National Park and Preserve. And so being able to accomplish some good things and, you know, work with user groups and work together on some creative solutions to some long-standing and difficult problems, that's something that I'm most proud of.
He says his goals at Klondike are similar, in addition to preparing the park for what he expects will become a challenging budget environment due to federal cutbacks. But he also expresses an interest in finding the right balance between the interests of Skagway's residents and the interests of Skagway's visitors.
Looking up beyond the park and the importance of how it fits in with the community, I think it's really important that we work together, work in partnership with a lot of different organizations, you know, businesses, different government agencies, various organizations to figure out how we can best reach our common goals, because in a community like Skagway, as you know, there are certainly more things that we have in common than we have differences.
Trinnell will be relieving an interim superintendent and filling the shoes of former leader Susan Boudreau, who left to take the equivalent position at Glacier Bay National Park. Trinnell is moving across the country with his wife, who also works full-time at the Park Service, and two young children.
We're not big city people. We know at heart we're Alaskans. We've both lived in Alaska longer than anywhere else, and so it's home to us. And when people ask us where we're from, that's what we say. And so we really were very interested in moving back to Alaska, and the idea of raising our kids in a small town in a close-knit community like Skagway, and where they can see wild nature and stars at night and in the wintertime, of course, and, you know, northern lights and all of that. And, you know, when it comes to what matters most as far as family values, it's, you know, Skagway is a very inviting place for us for in that regard.
This is Tara Bicknell for KHNS. What is news to you? If you have a story idea, email news@khns.org.